Welcome to the Nation Magazine Podcasts. You're listening to Nation Conversations, exclusive audio of Nation forums, events, seminars, and salons.
I'm Liliana Segura, Associate Editor of at The Nation Magazine, and I'm very pleased to be here today with Lori Penny, who has an article in this week's issue. Lori Penny is in New York for a few days. She is a writer, journalist, and activist from London who writes regularly for The New Statesman and The Independent. She's the author of Penny Red, Notes from the New Age of Dissent. And her article in this week's Nation is titled Rise of the Digital Natives, How the Battle for the Internet Politicized Prankster Cyber Collectives Like Anonymous. So I'll go ahead and let you explain, you know, sort of what that refers to. But I did want to let people know that Lori's been here reporting on Occupy Wall Street as it's been happening downtown. So it's been wonderful to have her in town.
Welcome. It's been really, really fascinating and brilliant to be here. The article was conceived in the summer as about Anonymous, about LulzSec, other internet collectives, and how they're working in conjunction with student movements and young people's movements and resistance movements across Europe and now America in the last few weeks. And it's been really funny writing it because even in the few weeks I spent writing it, the situation changed so fast. And when I got here to Occupy Wall Street, I realised what a big part of the movement and of the Occupy America movement the internet really is. And not just the internet, but that digital cyber activist culture. I mean, if you go down to Liberty Plaza, you'll see young people walking around and other people walking around with the V for Vendetta masks, which are sort of the iconic image of the Anonymous movement. I was there last night and there were a couple of kids in Anonymous masks joining in with this kind of pirate folk band that somebody had started down there, which was singing This Land Is Our Land, the Woody Guthrie song, which just, you know, I'm convinced that Americans have no sense of irony when it comes to their own country, but I find that quite beautiful. So, like, you know, that would never happen in the UK. but clapping along completely unselfconsciously and, you know, wandering through the crowd, helping out with the media centre particularly. Anonymous has been involved from the start in the Occupy America movement, sending out the initial call out for people come down to Liberty Plaza and retweeting, and because they've got lots and lots of followers online, keeping everyone updated, finding the names of the police officers who have been involved in police brutality on the streets of New York has been their main contribution since, and making it clear that state brutality is not something that this generation of young activists is going to stand for. So what's really interesting as well is it's not just digital resistance, it's anti-security and open source as an intrinsic part of that politics. So if you go down there, you'll find working groups on theory and on building collectives, but you also find working groups on open source systems building. And, you know, there's a young man down there who will say, oh, you know, Google and Apple are controlling your access to information. Bring your laptop to me. I'll give you Linux for free. Linux is the open source operating software. So which I find brilliant, and it's a new kind of politics informed by a new kind of technology.
So you've described a sort of new role for groups like Anonymous, yeah. And I was wondering if you could describe the more traditional role they've played in the past and also the official response as they've become more politicized.
Well, over the past year, you've seen a very interesting trajectory from tech dissidents mainly being involved in isolated anti-censorship activities, attacking people who attacked file sharing websites intervening in support of WikiLeaks, then in their kind of struggle to put out all those cables, and intervening in support of Bradley Manning, sometimes symbolic support, sometimes more practical support, and that was the moment of politicization when people realized that it's not just companies who censor, it's states who censor, and censorship is one of the most important ways in which states exert their power, not just practically but also symbolically. And then they intervened directly to help activists in Egypt, Tunisia, in Libya, when the dictators there cracked down on the internet, which was obviously, you know, a way that rebels on the ground were using to coordinate. And people in hacktivist movements across the world got together to copy information, to host mirror sites, sometimes sending them information on what was happening on the ground by fax. So this isn't just the internet, this is a global anti-censorship movement which plays directly into what we think of as the role of a state and of state power. And this is massively ideologically threatening to people who wish to control information and wish to make security the business of the state. So, which is, I think, one of the reasons that you've seen such massively disproportionate crackdowns. There are young people on trial for alleged computer infringements and conspiracy charges in the UK who are facing up to 10 years in prison at the moment if found guilty. And this is going along with other disproportionate crackdowns in Britain, just for example. On student protesters and people involved in rioting, people being sent to prison sometimes for years for example, stealing a bottle of water. So this is part of a crackdown on dissent in general across the world, and it really underlines for me how dissent online and dissent offline are not only related but feed off each other. And for me, that's a question of security. It's about what security means. Because obviously security has been one of the watchwords for my generation growing up politically. It's about what is the business of a state just to deliver security? What does security mean? What freedoms are we prepared to sacrifice in order to have this security? And obviously, in a digital space where security and restricting access to information is everything, that question becomes much more black and white, and you have tech dissident sites like anti-security specifically saying that's what they're about. They're about the idea that security as a concept is being misappropriated by states, by big business, to shut people out of access to information, to shut people out of methods of controlling their own lives. And it's saying that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of movement are not things that we should be prepared any longer to sacrifice for some airy notion of security. And this is, I think, one of the big ethical questions for the hacker movement. It's one of the reasons they're seen as so threatening.
Laurie Penny, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very much.
Nation Conversations is a product of The Nation magazine and is available on iTunes. You can hear more podcasts at thenation.com/audio. Thanks for listening.